Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability in the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. And later on, we'll be finding out how Save Butterfly World could be looking for a new site and why they want to invite you to hear about penguins and pollinators. But first, if you've been down to the banks of the River Lea around Wheatonstead recently, you might have seen some improvements. Patrick McNeil, the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust Living Rivers Champion for the Upper Lea, and also the Wheatonstead Parish Council Ranger for the Meads, and his team have been hard at work. I spoke to Patrick to find out what they're up to. Patrick, thank you so much for joining me. So there's a problem with the banks of the River Lea. Would you want to explain that to us?
Yes, the problem fundamentally is on the stretch of the river that we're talking about, which is the one that passes through the Meads in the middle of Wheathampstead. We've had a lot of problems with the erosion of the river bank. The particular stretch we're focusing on has gone back by at least a metre in the last 5 years.
Okay, and what's this caused by?
It's caused, obviously, in part simply by the movement of water going past, but also it's the long-term result of the policy which 30 years ago, or a bit more than 30 years, the policy was to dredge rivers for various reasons and to straighten them. And one of the effects of that has been to destabilise the river banks, which makes them more liable to erode.
Right, OK. And does this have an effect on things that can live in the river?
Well, it does, yes, because in a number of ways, one of which is that because the river is wider because of the dredging and the erosion, but the same volume of water is coming down, that means that the water is shallower, as a result of which the larger fish can't make use of that particular stretch of the river. Another effect, of course, is that the erosion put silt into the river, and that settles on the riverbed, covers up the gravels, and the gravels are crucial for invertebrates and for fish spawning.
Okay, so it is actually quite an important wildlife problem then. So what can be done about it?
Well, what we're trying to do, what we are doing on this particular stretch, is to protect the riverbank by putting in what we call willow spiling. And that involves driving chestnut stakes, untreated chestnut stakes, into the riverbank along the bed of the river, following the line of the bank, put them in at about half metre intervals, and then weave into that, in and out of the stakes, lengths of willow, which we've been pollarding from nearby willow trees. And because it's willow, it's very flexible, and so you can thereby create a kind of artificial fence, as it were. But spiling is the term that we use. That's S-P-I-L-I-N-G.
This sounds like an old word, a traditional word.
Oh, it is. It's a very traditional activity. Okay. I mean, hundreds of years, yeah.
Yes. It sounds very skillful. Where did you learn about this?
Well, it's less skillful than it sounds. It's a classic example of one of those skills that somebody shows you and you struggle to start with, and then suddenly you get the knack.
Right.
And you just get on the... I imagine there are training courses. But okay. It was a bit of, we'll do it and then we'll take it out again and then we'll do it better.
Right, OK. So hopefully practice is making perfect.
Practice is making an awful lot better anyway.
Yes, OK. And as you say, you've sort of married in your spilings, your little sort of fences, which are protecting the mud of the riverbank. You've married that in with the pollarding as well.
Yes,
that's another sustainable thing.
It's another sustainable skill, and again, very ancient. I mean, medieval at least.
Yeah.
You can pollard all sorts of trees, and traditionally in Hertfordshire, there are a lot of hornbeam pollardings gone on, oak, beech.
Yes. Yeah.
And
you can see these trees around, actually, can't you? The trees that are a bit shorter, and they're really sort of wide at the top, and you can see where bits have been taken out. Not recently, but often very ancient trees. They last for a long time as well, don't they?
They do last for a long time. And the principle of pollarding is that you pollard at the height that the animals can't get at.
Right.
Coppicing is when you cut off at ground level.
Yep.
But pollarding is where you cut off above the head height of animals.
Right.
And that creates pollarding. Well, the word poles, P-O-L-E, comes from pollarding.
Of course.
And you can, and that's how in medieval times and for hundreds of years after that, they created poles.
Yeah. So you're doing this work at the minute. I'm imagining it's quite cold, wet, muddy. Why on earth are you not doing it in the summer?
Well, there's a number of reasons for that. Taking pollarding first, because pollarding should be done when the trees are dormant, i.e. over the winter.
Right.
And essentially must be done outside the bird nesting season.
Oh, right, of course.
So that's from the pollarding point of view. From the point of view of actually working in the river, again, and because that dictates the time of year, more or less, within 2 or 3 months.
Yes.
And then you can't go on after March the 15th, because that is when the close season starts and the fish are spawning.
Oh, right.
And yes. The Environment Agency, quite rightly, say that we can't do work in the river.
Right. OK, so cold, wet, January, February. when do you hope to finish this?
We have to finish by March the 15th.
Right.
And we are on schedule.
You are on schedule. So it's going well, then?
It's going very well. I've had tremendous support from volunteers.
Yeah.
And much more support than actually I'd hoped for.
It's excellent. Been very, so very... where's your volunteers come from?
Well, a number of sources. The major group is a group we have called the Wheat Hampstead Open Spaces Volunteers, who look after a number of pieces of land that are owned by the parish council, including the Meads. And they meet once on the second Saturday of each month.
Yeah.
And I used them on the second Saturday in February.
Excellent.
And got a lot of work done.
Super.
I've also had volunteers from the Verulam Angling Club. They've chipped in. Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust have chipped in. And the Environment Agency have also sent some people.
Brilliant. Well, that sounds really good. Has it required money? Have you got funding from anywhere?
Yes, we did get some funding. We got a grant from the Wild Trout Trust. They have a scheme which they call the Rivers and Wetlands Community Days, which is sponsored by Thames Water. And the purpose of that is to do exactly the sort of thing we're doing, involve the community in work on the river that will benefit the community.
Well, this sounds brilliant. It sounds like something that's bringing the community together, something that's helping the environment, a real team effort, and something which is being successful as well.
Touch wood, fingers crossed, yes to all those comments.
Excellent. Well, I hope the weather remains mild for the rest of your work. And, well, I hope that you'll be able to come along and tell us about some more of the fascinating things that you get up to on the River Lee. Patrick, thank you very much indeed for joining me.
Thank you.
And I was talking there to Patrick McNeil. And I'll pop some photos on the environment pages of the Radio Verulam website and the Environment Matters Facebook page so that you can see what his spiling involves and see some of the other work that his great team are doing. It's a great story, that is, isn't it? Really nice to listen to the people pulling together and making a real difference. Now, we heard a couple of weeks ago about the signs of spring, but even with this milder weather that we've had this week, butterflies are still firmly in hibernation. However, the action group Save Butterfly World certainly is not in hibernation. John Horsfield explained what they're up to. John, thank you for joining me. So before we talk about the conference that you're organising, can you just tell us what Save Butterfly World is doing campaign-wise at the moment?
Yes, I'd be happy to. I mean, obviously, it's now over 2 years since Save Butterfly World was formed, and sadly, the Butterfly World is still closed. We're realists as well as campaigners, and we're recognising that it's becoming harder to achieve our aim, partly the intransigence of the owners, and partly because of the fact that there is a lot of interest around that area now with regards to the roads coming on the market, etc., etc.
Yes.
And also what I fear is a reduction in the strength of Greenbelt. The government seem to have need more houses, but I fear that Greenbelt may be the price we will have to pay for that.
Indeed. It certainly does seem around St. Albans that Greenbelt is no longer sacrosanct, is it? So I can see that would be...
Exactly. Now, what we're doing, we're working now with colleagues in a larger charity called Bug Life, and we are looking at alternative sites around the area. Now, obviously, as you can imagine, this is quite sensitive at the moment, so I don't want to go into too much detail, but there are other possible sites, and it may be, now the meadow is probably pretty badly trashed, that we will look at those.
Right.
We do, however, have a concern about... what the company is doing with the vacant land. It seems to me, and I haven't been able to get on it because it's all obviously bolted up, But there are some very heavy goods vehicles on there, some heavy plant being stored, and only the other evening I sort of had to give way to a dirty great car transporter coming out of the bottom of that lane, which could only have been parked on that site. So the abuse of land which companies are holding, banking, if you like, is something we're beginning to look at.
Right. Okay.
So what we've really decided to do is we're going to carry on, as I say, looking at possible alternatives, but also strengthening our position as a St Albans-based environmental charity.
Right.
Hence the conference.
Excellent. Well, that brings us nicely on to the conference then. So, I mean, there's a lot to look forward to in Sustainable St Albans Week, and you're organising this conference, and it's called Penguins to Pollinators. So, you're Save Butterfly.
Yes,
why have you called it that?
I'm not clever enough to invent the title. A colleague of mine did.
Right.
But basically, the penguins come from the fact that the conference is really looking at environmental issues both nationally and internationally. And the one of our main speakers is a guy called Peter Fretwell, a member of the Antarctic Survey team that was involved in the BEDMAP project, which mapped the bed topography of Antarctica. And we're very interested to hear what he's got to say, particularly about global warming. And we may even decide to send a copy to President Trump. I think it might help in his education.
Yes.
Now, coming on to the bumblebees, here we are immensely lucky. We have probably the expert in bumblebees in the country.
Wow.
Sorry.
Oh, you've got a little bit of disturbance there in the background.
By the moment. Yes, Dave Gorsman. Now, he started the Bumblebee Trust. He's written two major works on bumblebees, probably the authoritative work. And he's also involved in university projects lecturing on the fate of the bumblebee, how it's affecting our environment and us, and how our environment is affecting the bumblebee. And I think he's going to be astonishingly interesting. And I know there's a lot of interest in hearing him and his morning speech.
He sounds like a fascinating person. So
I think it's going to be a great day. He is joined by two other very environmentally well-known speakers. Peter Marion, who is a wildlife author who writes about folklore and the wildlife, and Patrick Barkin, who's a Hertfordshire guy who writes a lot on butterflies. I think he writes some fiction on butterflies and also writes on butterflies themselves.
Right.
We have two other speakers on the international front. We have an international coffee expert, which
coffee.
Will be quite interesting because he will really be talking about how the coffee industry is affecting the world's environment. Finally, we have the director of fundraising and development at Bug Life talking about that, Paul Herrington.
Right.
So we've got a strong cast.
Yes.
I think people hopefully will enjoy it. Now, it's very much an adult conference. This is not suitable for children. We've got some lovely plans coming up for children in the future, which I'll talk to you about some other date.
Yeah.
But we want to get adults in.
Yeah.
The tickets for the conference, we're sending them, it's the only way these days, via Eventbrite, because I think the other events in Sustainability Week are doing.
Yes.
It's £15 for an adult.
Yeah.
And £7.50 for a young people 16 plus.
Right.
And obviously people with disabilities, etc.
Right. Okay.
We are expecting quite a big demand on these tickets, so we would advise people that they go on sale on the 1st of March to get on their computers and look them up.
Right.
And join us for what I think could be a very exciting day.
Well, it does sound. It sounds like it's going to be interesting, but entertaining as well. So, it sounds fantastic. So, as you say, it's a whole day event. Is the idea that we come along for the whole day, or could we come along for sort of morning events?
At the moment, the plan is to come along for the whole day. We realise that it can get a bit complicated if we try and sort of divide the conference into half days. And it's really not excessive in price when you look at Take a young person, I've got grandchildren, 750 for that degree of information, particularly if you're doing environmental sciences at A level or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's well worth the money.
Yeah.
And there will also be time during the day for book signings from all of the authors who are there with their books.
Lovely. Brilliant. Well, John, thank you very much indeed for coming and telling us about penguins to pollinators. And I was talking there to John Horsfield of Save Butterfly World. He was talking over the telephone there. He's got a few mobility issues at the moment, but great that he was able to share Save Butterfly World's plans with us. And the Penguins to Pollinators event is just one of the many great events that are taking place for Sustainable St. Albans Week, which is the 21st to the 29th of April. And remember that under 18s can take part now by entering the Living St. Albans photo competition, and you'll find the details on the Radio Verulam website. Now, if you would like your garden to be more wildlife friendly, then Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust have the event lined up for you. That is on Thursday, the 1st of March, 7:30 to 9 o'clock. Do book. Their events get booked up very quickly. They say it's your chance to learn about wildlife gardening and how you can help wildlife by planting for pollinators, creating habitats and increasing the wildlife visitors to your garden. The talk will be by Reserves Officer Rob Hopkins, and it will be up at Jersey Farm Community Centre, so nice and convenient as well. So that is on the 1st of March, 7:30 to 9 o'clock. Now, you can find the information from today's show on the environment page of the Radio Verulam website. That's radioverulam.com. You can listen to the podcast of this show or any of the other shows that we've had recently. Always love to hear from you. Tweet us at rv_environment. So until the same time next week, I'd like to thank you for listening and goodbye.